Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Michelle Cromer, and you are listening to Where Am I Going?, where Prolo Maldonado and I ask ourselves big questions and we search for meaningful answers. And I'm kind of laughing right now because our show has, some reason, gone live like 10 minutes early. And so here we are. So Perla is gearing up on the other side of the studio, so I'm going to keep everyone occupied until she is available. So we are in for a big treat this evening. I have a wonderful, wonderful author and dear friend who is going to join us and talk about her book, her vision, her philosophies, and I am so deeply, deeply moved because Laurel Geese and I have met, oh gosh, I think we met probably, I can't believe it's been 10 years. Yeah, it's been 10 years ago this in June because we went to Tibet together. And so that was the first time that we met. And so I'm so delighted to have Laurel on the show. And I know that you guys are going to love her message. And I just want to give you a real quick heads up on how you can reach Laurel. Her website is www.laurelgeese.com. It's LaurelGeese.com. Now, I'm going to kind of stall until I can get Laurel on the phone because she's not supposed to call in for about another 3 minutes. So we've had a lot of news going on recently, and a heartfelt sympathy goes out to our Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden. Of course, his son died last night of brain cancer, and I don't know how that feels. Even if you lose a child, you certainly don't know how it feels for another person to lose a child. And this man had been through so much already, and I don't know all of the details, but a heartfelt sympathy goes out to Joe Biden, his wife, siblings, friends. Just such a tragedy. I know that he was a father, and it's just very, very disheartening. So also, I wanted to congratulate my son, August Lures, who graduated summa cum laude from the University of Southern California with 3 degrees. Thank you very much. I can be a proud mother. And the commencement exercise was really interesting because it was pouring down rain, pouring in Southern California, which they desperately needed. But the keynote speaker was really terrific. She is a financial advocate. Her name is Melanie Hobson. And what was really kind of cool is she introduced her husband, who was a USC graduate, and of course that is George Lucas. And a lot of people didn't really realize that. But she was successful in her own right and made quite a bit of money and was on an on-camera talent. And it was just really interesting to hear her message, which was all about diversity and empowering women. And it was I was kind of surprised. I was kind of a little bit taken back. We are about to have summer. Can y'all believe that? June 1st is tomorrow. June 1st, my son Sam is already out of school, and I just cannot believe it. I don't know where the time has gone. But if you would like to call in and speak to our guest in about 5 or 10 minutes, that number is 760-542-4307. Again, 542-4307, 760-542-4307. And I would absolutely love to hear from you, and so many of you listeners do contact me in our chat room, and I'm going to launch that, or you can email me at michelle@michellecromer.com. And, of course, so many of you download this, and we're so grateful for that, and we're always so taken aback but filled with gratitude on how many of you listen to the show, and really probably 90% of you download it. So thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. And I don't know what your summer plans are, but I would love to hear them. We have several authors this summer coming on board to discuss their nonfiction books. So we have a very busy summer, and we have we already have heat here in Texas, and of course, all of the people that were my hometown of Austin was completely flooded, and Dallas and Wimberley, Texas. I do not think there was one person in Wimberley, Texas that did not have some sort of issue with their home, their land. Our heartfelt, just heartfelt wishes go out to all of those people and hopes that they can dry out. And sadly, it was a situation where in Texas, it was kind of like California is right now. There was just absolutely nowhere for the water to go. A severe drought occurred, and so it caused all of the damage that it did. And I don't know how familiar any of you are with Houston, Texas, but it's like Houston's almost like analogous to a pool table in that the water has nowhere to drain. So it comes up from the Gulf of Mexico and then the watershed underneath Houston, and so it is just going to flood no matter what. So certainly that was in the news, and just a heartfelt, oh my gosh. And honestly, I don't know if the same thing wouldn't happen out in Los Angeles where August lives if something happens. I mean, they're so drought-stricken, but the water would not be able to hold that sort of rain. So I want to welcome Perla.
Hello, Michelle.
Thank you very much. It's Mercury Retro, and I believe we have Laurel already waiting to join us.
Okay.
Hold on just a second, and I'm gonna grab her and tell her what is going on. And again, listeners, you've tuned in to Where Am I Going? And the guest call-in is 760-542-4307. And I'm going to call our special guest, who is going to be probably a little surprised to know that we're already on the air. But let me get her. Laurel? Hold on just a second.
Hello?
Laurel?
Hello? Hello, Michelle.
Hello, we are actually
Perla.
Live on the air due to some sort of weird mechanical issue at Blog Talk Radio, so we're live. But Perla and I welcome you tonight. We're so excited that you're here, and I just want to tell the listeners just a little bit about you, of course, and how fabulous you are. You're an inspirational author, international speaker, spiritual mentor. You empower and you live your soul's calling. You've combined 20 years of teaching personal development workshops with 30 years as business executive, very successful business executive. And Laurel, you are also an evolutionary thought leader on the Soul Guided Living Movement. And you have your own radio show every week, and I encourage all of you to listen in to her radio show, which is Vivid Live Radio. And I'm going to be on it actually on Tuesday. I'm very, very excited. And Laurel's Twitter is LaurelGeise. And you can also go to her website, www.laurelgeise.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, I am just thrilled to be here today, and thank you so much for inviting me. It's wonderful to connect with my soul sisters again. How are you?
Absolutely. And when I started this show, I just realized, Laurel, that we have a 10-year anniversary, you and I. We've known each other 10 years because we met in Tibet.
I was thinking about this today, and I was like, okay, I remember I met Michelle in Bangkok on our way to Tibet. And
in the business center, of course.
In the business center, right, of the hotel at the Bangkok airport. And I remember, Michelle, I remember your bright, bright neon green boots. And shirt, and, you know, Michelle's the only person I know that I've ever traveled with that she was so color-coordinated. Everything was just beautiful.
It's important to have a color story when you travel. That way you don't have to take a lot of stuff, but everything matches.
Everything matched, you know, and I'm sitting there in my, you know, J. Crew khaki pants and my white shirt, you know, and here you are in these beautiful outfits, you know, and I remember seeing you in the business center and just thinking, I need to meet this person, and went ahead and introduced myself. So, and was
well,
that really
I
10
think I
years
described
ago?
You in my book as an executive. You already looked like you had your Zen together, believe me, and you and Michael did. So it was, and this is kind of a synchronicity moment, which we should probably have a whole show on, but I just turned the calendar over to June 1st, because it's June 1st tomorrow, and there is this picture of Ireland, and I was thinking I need to go home and see my family. But the point is, it's a portal, and you and I have stood in front of a portal in Peru. Remember that?
Yes.
And in Tibet.
Yes, we did. Yes,
and
we did.
And in Sedona, I might add.
And in Sedona. Yes, we did.
Yes.
We are portal pals.
that's exactly right. And, of course, Perla met you when you came and conducted the meditation workshop years ago at the Country Club. And that was,
yeah, so it was great.
That was just tons and tons of fun. So bring us up to speed, Laurel. Tell us what you've been doing since we last had you on the show.
Since our last episode together. I have been traveling the country and in, throughout the United States and Canada and teaching workshops on soul guided living and also soul journaling workshops and leading weekend retreats and and I've also started to lead past life regression workshops. That's become something that's become very, very important, very near and dear to my heart.
My gosh, now
that sounds fascinating.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so, well, you know, if I could just tell a little bit of a story about how past lives and, you know, exploring the memories came into my life, it really all came together for me and brought me to writing my book, The Jesus Seeds, Igniting Your Soul-Guided Life. So about 20 years ago, I studied with Deepak Chopra and studied meditation with him and became a meditation
that.
Yeah, and became a meditation instructor, and I've been teaching that for 20 years. So part of my daily practice is meditating twice a day. And as you mentioned, as a business executive, I would come home in the evening, and that was just the way that I could relax after a really stressful day. So one night I was sitting in my Lazy Boy, because I meditate in my Lazy Boy. And as I was sitting in my Lazy Boy meditating, I was transported to another place in time. And I was standing in the desert, and I remember that I could feel the cold air on my face and the dryness of the desert in my throat. And as I looked out, I could see these mountains in the distance with the sun coming up from behind the mountains. And as I looked down at my feet, in front of me, there was this ritual bathing pool, and there was water in that pool. And as I stood there, you know, there were a few things that I knew. I knew that I was in Qumran, which is in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was in a scene, and I knew that I was getting ready to cleanse myself before my morning prayer. So, you know, in this moment of this experience of another place in time, there was just this deep knowingness about everything in that lifetime. And I knelt down and I put my hands in the water. And when I did, I was transported back to my Lazy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this really shook my reality because I really didn't know anything about past lives. I didn't understand what happened. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody about it either because this is not your water cooler conversation
right.
at work, right?
Right,
like,
not
yeah.
corporate America.
Yeah, like, what did you do last night? Well, I went back in time 2,000 years, you know. And so I didn't tell anybody about this experience. I started to explore, you know, what was this, and doing a lot of reading and studying. And as time went on, I actually went on a tour to Israel.
Hmm.
And during that tour, we had a stop at Qumran in the archaeological ruins there. And our group had special permission to go into the ruins.
Oh, my gosh.
Before the sun came up. So here we were, this group, we get off the bus, we go into the archaeological site, and of course I get separated from the group, right? So I'm walking through the ruins by myself, and I'm like remembering, like, yeah, you know, this was a home, and this was a library, and this was a temple, and I turn this corner, and there I could see in the distance, I could see the mountains. And they were the same mountains I had experienced during that meditation. And the sun was about to come up. And I looked down at my feet, and there was, in front of me, was this ritual bathing pool. Now, there wasn't any water in it, but there was a sign that said ritual bathing pool.
Mm. Wow.
This is the spot. And it was like at that moment, there was this trigger of recognition inside of me that knocked me to my knees, and just such a confirmation that, you know, yes, I had been there, you know, yes, I had been Essene, you know, yes, Jesus had been there and taught all of the Essenes about living from their soul, and that I would write a book called The Jesus Seeds.
Now,
can imagine, you know, I'm a business executive, you know, and I'm like, I don't think so. But unbeknownst to me, that's what happened. You know, a few years passed, and I started to, you know, hear the words, the Jesus seeds in my mind, and I started to write every Sunday, and I wrote the book for several months, and this was in early 2012, so from January till April, and I remember that the book was completed on April 8th, and April 8th was Easter Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And so now, here, you know, I had this experience of this past life, and then this information, this wisdom, this guidance, this insight was written, and it was at that point that I knew my life purpose. I knew why I was here. Mark Twain said, the two greatest days of your life are the day that you're born and the day that you understand why.
Oh, powerful. Yes.
And I understood, right? I understood, you know, why I was here. So, you know, the book was published, shared it with thousands of people around the world, took me out on the road, and you know, again, you know how life just takes these twists and turns, and I was just guided to lead a past life regression session. And I had been studying with Dr. Brian Weiss, who is really, you know, the father teaching all of us about past life regressions, and I never thought I would be doing that, right? It's one of those things where you have the experience, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's like you need to be doing this. So I started to share past life regressions, and it has become such a powerful workshop and practice, because what's interesting, Michelle and Perla, is that really, you know, having a past life regression either individually or with a group, it's very much like meditation. It's a practice. And the more that we engage in the practice, the more information comes to us. And you know, what has been happening? I've been teaching here at our, I live in Florida, in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I've been teaching here at our Wings Bookstore, which is on the Unity campus, and every month more and more people are coming to this event. And actually, this is so exciting because this past Friday, we actually broadcast that workshop on a webinar at the same time, and we had people joining us from across the nation, which was really something, again, I wouldn't have really foreseen. But what's interesting about, you know, the past lives is that, you know, we can talk about past lives, but when you have a regression, when you actually have the experience, something transformational really happens. Because I just believe I've seen so many, you know, people now have the experience that they tap into that greater part of themselves. And in having that experience, people begin to really understand that the soul is eternal, that there is more to me than what I can see. You know, when I'm looking at my physical body, I'm in this here and this now, but there's so much more. And actually, you know, we can talk about it all day, but when someone has the experience, you can literally see the shift in their consciousness, and it starts to expand. And as we get into the past life regressions, we start to connect with the souls that are in our life at a more deeper level, let's say at a very deep level, because we find out that we literally travel through times with group of souls. Right?
Wow.
So the same souls continue to reincarnate with us, you know, in different relationships like mother, father, brother, friend, wife, you know, daughter.
Enemy, teacher, right?
Enemy, exactly. All, you know, all guide, friend, you know, all of those relationships. And when you have past life experience and you see the other person there, it takes your current relationship to a completely different level.
Absolutely. I can attest
right?
to that. It's timeless, it's eternal, and you see the person and their bodysuit, but you look at their eyes and you see through to their soul, and you in a second understand the love that you have shared over thousands of years. And it is so powerful, but yet, Laurel, it's so disturbing because others don't feel that, and yet you have to live in this physical parameter.
Yes. But what I think it does do, Michelle, is I think that, you know, when we can have that glimpse into that eternal nature of not only ourselves but the relationship, it allows us, those of us who have had the experience, to really live life with more compassion.
Absolutely.
Towards others. More
and kindness. Yes, kindness. And it opens up the bigger picture because we're here for a blink of an eye. And yet we're here again and again and again. And what can we do? What difference can we make? Doesn't come in the form of buying stuff and that sort of thing. It comes in the form of help and service.
Absolutely. And so even if, you know, in our lives, because I can assure you, not everyone in my life believes everything that I am sharing with people.
Right.
You know, there can be a lot of eye rolling in my, you know, world.
Right, and anyone's world, and you just meet them where they are, right? You just, judgment.
You're right. You meet them where they are. And I think, Michelle and Perla, when you are that compassion, and as you said, Michelle, kindness, when you embody that, right, just like Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. So being that model in the world, you know, and being compassionate to someone when, you know, they are playing that enemy role, or being, you know, being kind to someone when they're not being kind to you, but holding that vibration and holding that level of awareness and just not being rattled by it, and just understanding that deeply for them, they are, you know, here to learn some lessons, and there is a reason why that relationship is the way that it is, and the dynamic is the way that it is.
Yeah.
So, Laurel, when you have these classes, you say you have some classes with meditation and you do regressions. Does it take people a long time to get to that point, or is it relatively fast?
No, it's fairly quick, and I actually have a little different take on it than the way most people are sharing the past life regressions, in that typically when I teach the workshop, it's a two-hour workshop, and, you know, we spend the beginning part of the workshop talking about past lives and, you know, the different experiences that we can have and the transformational impact it can have on your life, the healing impact it can have on your life, the, you know, really, you know, understanding. I always take people through to understand, like, what their life purpose is in this life and what is the key lesson they're here to learn, which is also very transformational and inspirational. And then I start by taking people into just a meditation to expand their awareness and to connect all of the souls that are there. You know, it is amazing in these workshops that people come into the workshops and we connect, you know, at the soul level. So having the intention to consciously connect with their soul so that the soul shares with them, right? Mm. And also connecting with the soul of everyone who's there. And every time we do this, there's a different constellation of souls that comes together for that particular workshop. And then I would say, you know, in that meditation, in consciously connecting with the soul before you go into the regression, and literally raising the vibration of everyone who's involved, right? So energetically, we all raise our vibration. It's almost like a tuning fork, right, where we all get on that same level of vibration before we go into the regression. And the regression itself is like a guided visualization. and it takes about 40 minutes, let's say, 40 minutes. And then when we come out of the regression, I have people pair up in groups of two and share the experiences that they've had. And then I open it to the larger group, because what I have found is that when we share in a larger group, there are people that connected in other lifetimes during the regression. So someone will say, well, I was in, you know, 16, 12, and I was here, and this is what I look like. And then somebody else in the group go, oh, my goodness, I was there. I was there.
Oh, wow.
You know? And I've had, the one that I had last month, actually we had a few people that connected, and they were in Egypt together. But, I mean, they saw each other in that time period, and then when they came back in the room and they saw each other, they both looked at each other and just immediately pointed to each other and said, I know you.
Oh,
they didn't know
wow.
each other before they, I mean, consciously before they walked in the room.
Wow.
But they pointed at each other and they were like, I know you. I saw you. They described each other and, you know, what they were wearing, what they looked like. And they could tell from the eyes, from that eye contact.
And that's where you see that, in the eyes. When you can look
yes.
at someone's eyes, that
mm-hmm.
is, yeah. Yeah, there was a
that's
whole movie
amazing.
About that. Yeah,
it's
that's incredible. And so I know that you're teaching soul journaling workshops. What
mm-hmm.
exactly is that, and does it have any connection to what we're discussing with past life regressions?
Okay, so so soul journaling is a tool that I teach to help people to consciously connect with their soul.
Okay.
And it's a very simple technique, and I teach people this technique so that every day when they get up, they can spend a few moments, and it's another sacred practice. It's like it's like exercise. The more we exercise, the stronger the muscle will become. It's the same when we're connecting with our soul. When we have that conscious connection with our soul and we have that intention and the attention that I want to, you know, be aware right now, expand my awareness, step into that higher state of awareness through, you know, being in the present moment. And then literally capturing the guidance from our soul, because that guidance comes to us all the time. And if we can allow ourselves to take just a few moments every day to consciously connect with our soul, and, you know, that could be through meditation, through prayer, through, you know, whatever practice works for you, to reach that stillness inside, and then to listen. And in the practice, what you do is you simply listen and write down whatever comes to you, okay? And it could be a word, it might be a few words, it might be colors, a picture, it could be a song, it might be a vision. You know, it's interesting. I've been teaching this for many, many years, and there are no parameters as to what that soul journaling looks like, because it's different for all of us. You know, our soul communicates with us through these really subtle energetic impulses, and we each have our own way that we consciously connect that's easier. For me, it's typically words. But for other friends of mine, it's through pictures or through intuition, like a really deep knowingness. So we write in our soul journal every day, and then we put the soul journal away, and we don't read it until the next morning.
Mm.
Now, what this allows you to do is it allows you to build that conscious connection with the soul while at the same time allowing that, what I would call the control and the criticism and the judgment of the ego self to kind of be pushed aside. You know, we all have an ego. We need to have an ego as part of our personality. So you have this, you know, most of us are in an ego-driven life. And when we start to move into soul-guided life, there's really a cognitive shift that happens. So you're moving from ego-driven to soul-guided. And when you start to step into the soul guidance, when you consciously connect with the soul and the soul starts to move forward in the personality and the ego starts to move backward, you know, the ego typically doesn't like this because the ego has been in charge the whole time.
Right.
And it's like, hey, what's happening here? You know, it's a trembling inside you, because it's like, what's happening? Things are changing. I don't understand. And the ego can criticize and judge what you're writing in your soul journal. But I found that if you put the writing away and don't read it until the next morning, there is an opportunity for you to really take in that information from the soul and understand it in a way where the ego doesn't interfere with that guidance. And it's, you know, it's really powerful because, you know, as you add this as a daily practice, the messaging and the guidance becomes stronger and clearer. There's more clarity over time if you allow yourself to do this. So, and how it would connect to a past life and past life, let's say regressions and, you know, exploring past lives, is that after we do a past life regression, I always tell people to pay attention because the regression and the impact of it doesn't end at the end of the workshop.
Mm.
You will have some memories that will come forth in dreams. There'll be signs and symbols and synchronicities that occur in your life. And I always guide people to, you know, write that down in their soul journal too. And what that can do for us is it just allows us to, what, you know, I teach people to look back to see forward.
Oh,
look
wow.
back to see forward. And how you look back to see forward is that in the soul journal, you're capturing information. So I have my daily, you know, daily conscious connection, and I'm capturing, you know, that soul guidance. And then I'm moving through my day, and maybe there's a sign. Like right now for me, I have to tell you, the last several weeks, every single day I see a blue jay.
Oh.
Every single day I see a blue jay. And it's really interesting because it's not only every morning when I take a walk, I'm seeing a blue jay in different parts of the property here, but I went to get my hair done, and I was sitting there getting my hair cut, and outside the window sat a blue jay.
Oh.
And then another day, I'm driving through town. I'm driving through a city, sitting at a stoplight, and a blue jay lands on the sidewalk next to the car. And
oh.
then I took a trip to Ohio, and a blue jay was sitting right outside the window. So it's like,
wow.
okay,
and,
this
and,
is...
And yeah. what does that mean?
Well, the blue jay represents the ability to move between heaven and earth and to share those messages.
Oh.
Which to me, and to pay attention to those messages.
Oh, wow.
To pay attention. Mm-hmm. So I would write
and,
that in my soul journal, yeah.
And I know that you offer a free soul journaling guide. And tell us how do our listeners go about receiving that?
Okay, so all you have to do to receive your free soul journaling guide is just go to my website, which is laurelgeise.com, laurelgeise.com. And right there on the homepage, there's a sign-up box that just says sign up today for your free soul journaling guide and e-news and more. And that's all you need to do is just put in your email address and you'll receive your soul journaling guide. And also, I offer free soul journaling classes online too. So that information will come to you, you know, once you sign up for the soul journaling guide.
Oh, wonderful. Can our listeners click on something on your website and watch the explanation?
No, I don't. I have, there's a short 2-minute video on the on the homepage, yes, where
Great.
People can learn more about soul-guided living, yes.
Wonderful,
yes.
Terrific. And you've also got Facebook.
Yes, we have Facebook. So on Facebook, if you like my author page, every single day I post inspirational guidance about living a soul-guided life. So I'd love for people to like my Facebook page and let's become friends. That would be fantastic.
Well, it sounds like this is really a lifestyle for you because you were talking about your walk and then your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a soul-guided, you live this. This is your...
Yes. It's a lifestyle.
And explain a little bit about that.
Yeah. You're calling your soul's calling, right? That's what you're saying?
Yes, so yes, soul-guided living, right. So I use a mantra that's listen, align, and act. So listening to our soul guidance, aligning our life with it, and then acting. So listen, align, and act. And it's a continual process. And I believe it's a lifestyle because it's not something that we just do, you know, 5 minutes in the morning or one afternoon a week. It's the way that we actually live. This is the way I live my life, and that's what I teach people to do. I help people to do this, to consciously connect with their soul. And then, as I said,
it's not just something that you check off your to-do list.
That's right. It's an enlightened, empowered way to live your life. And as I said earlier with the soul journaling, it gives you the tool to look back to see forward. And as you start to capture, you know, this guidance in your soul journal, you can stop, let's say, once a week or once a month and go back and read through the soul journal entries. And it allows you to literally connect the dots and to see what your next step is with clarity and with perfect vision. So it really is a lifestyle. It's really allowing ourselves, you know, it's allowing ourselves to become self-actualized, like Maslow talked about in psychology, you know, that potentiality to become everything that you are here to become. And I believe that soul-guided living is a way, it's a gateway. It's one gateway. It's not the only gateway, but it's a gateway to living a self-actualized life. And that's something that is just inherent. That's our divine birthright. Mm-hmm. Is to step into living and being everything that we can possibly be. And, you know, I believe from a soul's calling perspective that, you know, your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer.
Mm. Wow, wait, stop. I need you to say that again.
Say that again.
That is a very strong statement. Say that again.
So your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer.
Oh, I love that. Wow.
So right
now,
connected.
We're here to help. We're here to serve. That's why we're here.
There is someone right now who is praying for you and the gifts that you have. And therefore, it becomes your responsibility to live your life's calling, your soul's calling, because those gifts that you have, they are not for you. They are for someone else.
Wow.
So that's why it's so important for us to listen to this.
Yes,
absolutely.
That is just so profound, Laurel. It really is. I've never considered that, you know. That's so pure, and it's pure love with no ego attached at all, because you're here to answer your calling for someone else. There's no ego in that at all.
It literally has nothing to do with you.
Wow.
Which is quite a paradox, right?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Quite a paradox.
That is just a powerful, powerful statement. My gosh, that's incredible. That's incredible. And when you go to your website, which, again, www.laurelgeiseguys.com, and you receive your free journaling guide, you can also receive information about the course that Laurel does on Soul Journaling Guide. And this is really... This talking about portals, it sounds like this soul journaling guide is a portal into helping you touch your soul and realize your calling.
Yeah, it's a gateway.
It's a gateway, right.
The journaling guide, you know, it literally walks you through the process, and then it has 21 days of journaling pages for you, and each day has a specific quote to guide you through the process. And then what our listeners can do is then I also offer a free soul journaling class, and you'll get that through my e-news. I offer that periodically, and people can sign up for that. And also when they sign up, they'll receive information on the monthly past life regressions, if that's something that interests people, that they can join in. And yeah, it was really interesting, because I've typically only done this in person. And I had so many people asking me, could I please, you know, do this on a webinar? And I was like, well, you know, yes. The answer is always yes. But, you know, how to do that? And, you know, we figured out how to do it. And Friday night was the first time. And afterwards, I had people calling me from all over the country just sharing with me what happened.
Oh, that's
to them.
So amazing. That
you
is
know,
terrific.
Through a webinar. And, you know, I believed in my heart that it would work. You know, the transmission would be there, right? The energy would be there. Because I, you know, I have personal clients and I work with them over the telephone, and you know, we have, you know, the energy exchange is there. But, you know, there's always, you know, there's always fear when you're stepping into doing something that you haven't done before. But mm-hmm. let's go back to that, you know, your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer. And, you know, is your soul is calling you into more, into be more, and to do more. You know, you reach that edge of your reality. You start to bump up to that edge of your reality of what you know and what you know yourself to be. And as you start to bump up against that reality, that's when the fear and the anxiety and the uncertainty arises. But when you have this deep knowingness that you're here for a reason, you're here to be in service to other, and that there you have that deep faith, that you're always supported and you're always loved in everything that you're being guided to do, this fear starts to dissolve. Mm. And it is replaced by boldness. And, you know, when you have that knowingness that only you can give your gift to the world, I firmly believe that every single soul on this earth has a specific gift that no one else can give in the way that they can give it. And once you know that, there's a clarity that starts to come forth, and it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And every time you take a step, you know, even though that fear will arise, and I can tell you I have a lot of fear in my life because I'm doing a lot of things that I have never done before. But mm-hmm. as soon as you take that step, the fear begins to dissolve, and the universe literally races to support you and reach you. And you know, there's that quote in the Quran that says, if you take one step towards the divine will take 1,000 steps towards you.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
So when we have that fear, and when that fear arises, just know that by taking that step, you're literally grounding that energy of the soul into this level of reality, and you have to take that step for the universe to give back to you 1,000-fold what you are here to give.
Mm. Wow. Again, listeners, you're listening to Laurel Geist on Where Am I Going? And you can call Laurel at 760-542-4307. And we have a question, Laurel, in our chat room. And it's an interesting one, and the listener would like to know if illnesses that we have now have anything to do with the past life.
Well, I would say that, yes, there is a potentiality for that to be true.
Okay.
I have personally had an experience with it, and I can share a story with you on my own personal experience, and that in a past life, I was actually a knight. So this was in the Middle Ages. I was a knight. And I was following someone. I was trying to find someone, and I was in the woods. And I was riding on a horse, and I got off the horse, and as I was walking, I fell into a pit.
Mm.
And that pit had wooden stakes in the bottom of it.
Oh.
And one of the wooden stakes went through my foot.
Oh.
And I had this pain in my foot for years. And when I had that memory, it didn't hurt having the memory. The memory is more like watching a movie, right? Like watching myself
right.
do this. Didn't have the pain. But after that, that pain in my foot was gone.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So for me, you know, that was the experience that I had. And I know that, you know, if you read any of the books by Brian Weiss, he literally has hundreds of case studies of people who had illnesses and who were cured. In fact, his daughter, in one of his latest books, his daughter talks about, and she's, you know, she was young. She was in her 40s, I believe, 30s or 40s, and she developed cataracts.
Mm.
And she couldn't understand why she had cataracts. And he tells this story in the book where she went into a past life regression, and she was in some lifetime in a village, and she was someone who lived kind of on the outskirts of town, and I believe she was a shaman. And there was a fire, and the fire had burned her eyes.
Oh.
And she had this memory during the regression, and when she came out of the regression, you know, she could see, and she went to the eye doctors, and they said the cataracts were gone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness. And see, that's a miracle, just a change of your perception, and that's what happens.
Yes. Yes. And so I would encourage, you know, our friend who, you know, asked the question to, you know, check out these books by Brian Weiss, and the book's about miracles and where I read that story. So, you know, it can happen. And I know in the workshops that I have, you know, people just they have such a deep understanding of, you know, their body issues, their the relationships, you know, health issues. It all just starts to become more clear as
right.
you open yourself up to having this experience. And we've all lived many, 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 many lifetimes. So imagine how much there is to explore.
And is it possible, since time is an mm-hmm. illusion, is it possible mm-hmm. that we exist also in future lives? Is that even a possibility?
Yes, we do. And I've had a future life experience. And, yes, I have. And Brian Weiss also has a book about that, too. And, in fact, that's interesting because we were talking about that Friday night. People were asking if that was something that, you know, we may do. And I said, yes, I think that would be something that I may include in workshops in the future.
Wow.
Talking about future lives. But, I did see myself in a future life, and it was about 300 or 400 years from now.
Wow. Well, that's good to know that we survive our technical adolescence and that humans are still here. Are you human?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Good. So the humans are going to survive. Good.
Yep. We're all going to be here. To your point, what, you know, it's interesting because in my experience, what's happening is that, you know, the more experience we have with the past life regression, the more we open up to it, we begin to see, not only to see ourselves as a soul, but to literally live as a soul.
Right.
And you begin to transcend those borders of space and time and really understand that multidimensional aspect of you. And
right.
then as you're reconnecting with other souls, like the experiences that I'm having now is that when I am with people, talking with people, meeting people, you know, when I'm out on the road, I am now seeing people as souls.
Wow.
So
that's
so
great.
There's right? It's a shift in perception that, you know, I mean I still see a physical body there and I still understand the personality, but you just start to see even deeper into every individual that you encounter in your life.
And what a nice perspective, Laurel, because you can see someone that's working at Target behind the counter, and with your perception, this person is not just someone working behind the counter at Target. This person is in your life because you know them. Because according to the theory, everyone that you meet, you have met, will meet, and are here for some reason. And that's just a wonderful way of looking at life.
Yeah, it changes everything. It moves you into living a miracle life. You know, Albert Einstein said that, you know, there's two ways to look at life. Either that everything's a miracle or that nothing is a miracle.
Yes,
and
I
choose
that.
To believe that, you know, that this is a miracle life and everything that is happening is a miracle. And there's also something else that happens, too, as we, you know, have these experiences and we connect with our soul and we allow ourselves to move into this space. You know, we literally move into this ascension of the soul. And, you know, with that soul's ascension and our ability to exist in higher and higher states of vibration, higher and higher states of frequency, you know, as we do that, there is a memory of how beautifully complex we are and the many different facets of our individuation, and that we really are all of these things, because as you have these past life experiences, you know, you realize you were a man, you were a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You were someone that, you know, was full of love. You were someone who was full of hate. You were someone who was compassionate. You were someone who was not compassionate. You know, all these different facets of our individuation of the soul through the body. And, you know, as we make these connections and we really start to integrate, you know, all these parts of ourselves, not only in this lifetime, but through time past and time in the future, what happens is we move into that state of resurrection, which I believe is loving all those parts of yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Loving it all.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it means to be human, to fully embrace everything. And it is in the shadows of ourselves that we grow the most, that we learn the most. And if we embrace those instead of denying them and
mm-hmm.
know that this is because of eons of time and we've been here, we will be here, and it also kind of makes you wonder, everything that you do right now affects your
mm-hmm.
future in a very big way the next time around. So,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah.
you know, Pearl and I are always talking about karma. And even though we can't see karma working, we know that it is. It's a rule of the universe. And even
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't happen in this lifetime, no one gets away with anything ever, 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 ever. And most of the time the karma happens in this life, but in this lifetime, but not always. So you just let that go and live your life. And as you said, you know, you find your calling because it's not yours. It's for somebody else, which is the most profound thing about
right,
this life.
Yeah, and you know, and it is interesting because I've had that experience in my own personal life where a relationship with others in a past life where, you know, I must have done something.
Because, we all have those relationships.
You know,
oh, my
because,
gosh.
Because it came back to bite me, you know, in this lifetime. And, you know, just really interesting because, again, you start to realize that it moves you into that space, you know, in Buddhism, you know, there's the Eightfold Path and, you know, there's right thought and right action and
right deed and right speech.
And, you know, all, you know, those eight different facets. And, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, the more we move into this space of living from the soul and really understanding, you know, because everything, you know, in my life, I try to live, and I don't always succeed, but I try to live every day in the highest state of awareness and stay as awake as I can all the time. And, you know, by staying in that state of awareness, when you come to those choices, those choice points in your life, like, how am I going to respond to this situation? What am I going to say to that person who just said this? You know, how am I going to react? Am I going to react or am I going to respond?
Oh, wow,
to the situation?
I love that. Mm-hmm.
Right? When we,
right.
You know, and I just believe it gives you a moment to pause. And you can make that choice.
Right.
You can make that choice because, you know, you can say those words that you really want to say. Or you can, you know, take a breath and, you know, hit the pause button for a moment and then come back with something that's more compassionate or something that's more kind and completely shift that, you know, that experience that's, you know, right there in front of you. So, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I think that it really begins to shift you. And yeah, and when you have that connection with someone and you know that you've known them for a long time, again, it just moves you into a state of compassion. And it's interesting because the other thing that happens with the past life regression is that people have experiences in between lives.
Yes.
In
yes.
between lives. Yeah,
yes.
This has happened in my workshops too, where people will tell me, well, you know, my experience was like in between life. And we, you know, and I saw all of these souls around me and I recognized it was my grandmother and it was my grandfather and it was, you know, this or was this angel or it was this, you know, ascended master or, you know, there are different beings that exist in those in-between lifetime states. And that also opens up people to just, you know, again, pushing out the boundaries of your current reality. because mm-hmm. then you understand that, you know, that you are this soul and that, you know, you did agree, and I believe this, I believe that with every, you know, life, there is a life purpose and there are lessons to be learned. You know, when I first started having these past life experiences, and for me, you know, one of the first ones was the trip back in time to Qumran in Israel. But after that doorway opened, there were several months when I was spontaneously having past life memories during my meditation. And, you know, I would come out of the meditation and I would write down all the details and all the specifics. And there was a theme, you know, over time there was this theme that, you know, that, you know, here I was in this lifetime, here's who I was, here's my name, here's the date, you know, here's where I lived, here's, you know, what happened in my life, and here was the lesson, and I didn't get it, okay? And
right.
This went on, I mean, literally, I at least 20 lives, I went back through time, and I you know, I started to feel like such a loser, because I never got the lesson. You know, the lesson was compassion, forgiveness, hope, love, you know, I mean, just, you know, just so, you know, friendship, so many different things. But I have true faith that there had to be some lifetimes when I got it.
I know that's true because you're helping so many now, including myself. I mean, you're the one that taught me how to meditate on that nasty bedspread in Tibet.
It's because of you, Laurel, that I stayed. We were learning to meditate, right? I do remember that, Michelle. I do remember that.
I heard that
story too, boy. Michelle was going to leave us on that trip. She was out of there.
Oh, yeah, I was so gone. Oh, my gosh. And you saved me. I mean, you rallied, and I will for eternally grateful. And I promise the next time around I'm going to help you somehow, some way. I'm going to do it.
That's so beautiful.
I will definitely do it. Well, I am so sorry that the show started early because we actually have to wrap things up, if you can imagine that. And
but you have
to promise that you're going to come back because I know we're going to have a lot of questions from listeners. I know. So you'll have to promise that you'll come back. And also, listeners, if you have any questions, you can always, all of you, always email me at michelle@michellecromer.com. But please go to laurelgeist.com, laurelgeise.com, and get your free soul journaling guide. Oh, for goodness sake. Do that. And we will all have Laurel come back.
Well, Laurel's on a radio show, aren't you, Laurel?
That's right. I have a radio show, Soul Guided Living, on Vivid Life Radio. So just go to vividlife, all one word, .com. And I'm on Tuesdays live at 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. And as Michelle mentioned, she is my guest this week. So
yes,
that's two reasons to join us on Soul Guided Living. I'd love to have you join us because we have experts and also make sure that we're sharing tools and tips and strategies with you on how to support your soul-guided life. So we'd love to have you join us and just tap into that energy and wisdom and insights from all of these experts.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Laurel, thank you so much. We're just so delighted and honored that you've come back to the show, and such a pleasure. And I look forward to speaking to you on your show on Tuesday. And we will look forward to you again.
Oh, I would love to come back. And thank you. I love you both. Feel my hug. I'm hugging you right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, this is Michelle Cromer.
And this is Perla Maldonado.
And you've been listening to Where Am I Going?, where Perla and I ask ourselves big questions and search for meaningful answers. Have a wonderful week. And I'm going to do a quote tonight from our guest, Laurel. Listen, align, act. And ask yourself, am I responding or am I reacting? And your calling is not about you. It's about somebody else. And
I love that. And that's
how we're going to leave it. Thanks a lot. Good night, Perla. Good night, Laurel.
Bye.
Bye.